All right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Billy D's podcast. I am absolutely thrilled that you are here. As always, if you're new to the program, we are primarily an interview and a commentary podcast. You can find the Billy D's podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just about all the major podcasting platforms, including with friends over at Good Pods. This episode will be one of our bonus, unconfidential commentary podcasts. We're going to be talking about Elon Musk and his purchase of Twitter. Now, whether you're a Twitter user or not, this deal, and if you're following the banter that's on social media right now, this whole thing is saying a lot right now about our current state of affairs with social media, with conservative versus liberal, the economy, capitalism versus socialism, free speech. That there's a lot of things that are being drawn into this. I'm going to talk just a little bit about that on today's podcast. Now, right now, if things go well, I just got to tell you about next week. If things go well, and I have no reason to believe they won't, but when you're scheduling things, you just never know what can go wrong. But aside from that, if the schedule remains the way that it is, next week we're going to be doing something different that we don't normally do here at the Billy D's podcast. For one, I'm going to have a co-host that is new to co-hosting here at the podcast and at the Billy D's podcast, and we are going to be interviewing a professional wrestler. So there's going to be three of us on the podcast next week, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've been anticipating this. So anyway, that's going to be, if all goes well and the scheduling falls into place the way it's supposed to, next week, that podcast is going to be coming out. So do keep in touch with what's going on here at the podcast. And a good way to do that is Twitter, as a matter of fact. I'm real easy to find right on Twitter at Billy D's. And of course, depending on what platform you're finding the podcast on, it's always just really easy to subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast and all the new episodes come right to you, and you won't miss a thing. All right. Getting into our topic today, Elon Musk, Twitter, the enormous amount of money that's involved with these billionaires, and the conversation that all of this sparks in the public domain in general, whether it's the traditional media, social media, so on. Talk around the water cooler at work, as they always say. Here in the United States, we have what I would call a love-hate relationship with billionaires. There's a certain criticism in terms of the amount of money that some people can accumulate in our system. How much of that money is really needed by one person? Could that money be used for other things? And so on. And by the way, trying to be as objective as I try to be, I don't believe that billionaires should be vilified. Okay. By the same token, I don't believe that billionaires should be worshipped as idols. That's not where I come from either. But in fairness, some of the criticism that I just mentioned about billionaires, those are legitimate questions. And but we also have to consider the good that a lot of billionaires have done, not only for the United States, not only for our economy, but for the world in general and the way we live our lives. Henry Ford, for example, you could make the argument he wasn't the nicest person in the world. But by the same token, he was a transformative figure in terms of how we live our lives. This is true of Steve Jobs. This is true of Bill Gates. All of these individuals were transformative figures, not only with our economy, but in terms of how we live our lives. You could say the same thing probably about J.P. Morgan, Carnegie, all of these individuals throughout history. Here in this country, in particular, in the United States, these people changed the world My general philosophy on this is I typically don't worry too much about these billionaires becoming successful as long as they are doing so within the law. And second of all, that they are abiding by the United States tax laws and all of the other things. They're not finding a million different loopholes to jump in and out of, as long as they are doing what they are supposed to be doing. And sometimes that can be very subjective. But within, let's say, a relatively scope of normalcy, they are operating within the confines of tax law, and they are operating within the wider laws of how to do business in the United States. I'm all for people being able to be successful. So for my money, so to speak, when we are talking about what these billionaires are doing within a certain ethical scope, shall we say, it is easier to be objective about how they're doing business and so on and so forth. When you start getting philosophical and we start to criticize their behavior as being, let's say, extravagant or something like that, not necessarily about Elon Musk, but let's say some of these billionaires, some of these entertainers and so on and so forth who buy these multi-million, sometimes billion-dollar yachts. When you start getting into that, it's very easy to say, well, I don't feel with all that's going on in the world, someone should be able to do that. And that's fine. But now you're in an area that is very subjective. Now, for me personally, I can't imagine wanting a yacht that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. To me, that just would not provide that much happiness for me. Okay, so I'm probably in that camp. That's something that I really can't understand. But here again, getting back to what I said earlier, as long as this wealth was obtained legally and there's a certain code of ethics that's being applied to this person's behavior, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, per se. So we have to be on balance with how we evaluate some of this stuff. Now, for me, I can tell you this. Here again, I want to stress this. As long as somebody who is very wealthy has obtained that money legally within the confines of the law, is obeying the tax laws and doing all these other things, as long as that is happening, I am much more concerned about how my government is spending my money than I am with how this person is spending theirs. The amount of money, the amount of tax money that is spent in the United States is staggering. One of my favorite quotes from a politician some years back was, a billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking real money. And that's true. That is absolutely true. And I understand there's going to be times when you have a country of over 300 million people, there's no way that every dollar that's ever spent is everybody's going to agree on that that's a good expenditure. However, it just seems like enormous amounts of time and enormous amounts of money get spent over that time, where there really is somewhat of a mystery where that money went. And a lot of times there's a lot of disagreement on where that money is going. And you have these politicians who are catering to, you know, these interest groups. They're catering to their base. They want to get reelected again. And, you know, that all brings up the discussion about term limits and all these other things. The way the government was originally structured in the United States is a lot of these key appointments were supposed to be like civil service. You know, you did your time and you got out for this very reason. Okay, career politicians were never considered to be a good thing. Okay, these positions were not designed to leverage some future private endeavors by these politicians and cater to these interest groups over decades. That's why the arguments for term limits are valid. And here again, I don't want to debate that on today's program, but this is where my concern is when it comes to large amounts of money that is being spent that doesn't really belong to the people who are spending it. That to me is where there's a lot more concern. Another concern that people have about billionaires buying these entities is somewhat legitimate. And that is, it seems like there's a handful of billionaires that we hear a lot about in the news who are in control of more and more stuff. And, you know, that is a legitimate concern. But I got to tell you, it goes beyond certain individuals that we hear about. When we start examining the media companies in the United States and the corporate entities that run them, there's fewer and fewer of them. The same handful of companies own the majority of broadcast TV, radio stations, and so on and so forth. If you've ever taken a trip across the United States and you avoid your music playlist on your phone and you just play the radios, you will find out that as you travel across the state, as you travel through the counties, and then as you go interstate and you switch from one radio station to another, as long as you're staying within similar formats and all that, you're going to notice a great deal of uniformity. It's the same songs. It's the same. Even the promos sound the same. And this is because a handful of companies own the radio stations in the United States, the majority of the radio stations in the United States. So getting back to this situation with Twitter, the one thing that I do like about this part of it is that, at least in this case, Elon Musk is kind of his own deal. A lot of the big tech companies, a lot of the broadcast companies, they all have the same backgrounds. They all have the same attitudes. It's been one, governing philosophy in terms of how to do business that's been handed down from one CEO to the other. And at least Elon Musk is cut from a different cloth. Okay, he's very hard to describe. And I feel that that part of it, regardless of what specifically he is going to do with Twitter, at least he's shaking that world up. He's shaking that world up. The norms are getting jockeyed around a little bit. So these other big social media giants, they're going to have to pay attention to it. Because no matter where it goes down the road, it's going to be a path that hasn't been covered yet, or at least a path that doesn't get covered too often. So at least for me anyway, I am okay with this. I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of like this deal. I kind of like what Elon Musk has done with Twitter, because he's rattling people's cages. People have gotten too comfortable with the same guiding principles on all the major media, all the major social media. It's the same thing over and over again. This marketplace of social media has become very stagnant. It's the same rules that will get you banned. It's the same this and that. And we're going to talk about that a little more. But anyway, I like the idea that somebody is grabbing the bars and shaking the cage, and everybody else is inside, you know, shaking around a little bit. They're not as comfortable as they were a couple of days ago. And I like that. That's a good thing. Another term, or let's say concept, that has been really bantered about lately in regard to Elon Musk and Twitter is the idea of free speech. And in terms of the First Amendment, I talked a little bit about this on my last episode, but free speech provisions within the United States are actually much more narrow than what most people realize. A lot of people feel that this term free speech is like a shield, that you can go out into the public domain and say anything that you want with impunity. And that is simply not the case. In the strictest of terms, now this has been modified a little bit by Supreme Court rulings over the years, but in terms of free speech as provided by the First Amendment, it's basically the idea that the government itself can't pass any laws to shut you up if the government doesn't like what you're saying. And it's very fundamental in the United States, and it's very important. It's important because, despite our flaws as a country, the one thing that an oppressed people always has sooner or later is the ability to voice their discontent, okay? And around the world, a lot of people who are being oppressed are being silenced. And that's probably one of the worst weapons that an oppressive government can have, is the ability to close down dissent. Okay. With that being said, here in the United States right now, I feel that free speech is being threatened, and not so much by the United States government, but a lot of times just by us ourselves, we the people. You know, one of the pitfalls of democratic ideals in general is the line between the will of the people and the line between mob rule sometimes is very, very blurry. And that's why here in the United States and other democracies around the world, there are restrictions in terms of how much we will follow what a quote unquote the people want. That's one of the pitfalls of a democracy, is that sometimes you can't always trust the wisdom or the integrity of the mob. That's why we have a constitution. There are certain things that are non-negotiable. Okay, we can't vote on them. These have to remain in place for a good and civilized society, okay? And what's happening now with free speech, if somebody says something that a certain group of people doesn't like, they band together, they attack the advertisers. The advertisers are being extorted because this giant mob that's out there that's been offended by what someone has said, they'll go after the advertisers on the program on social media. They will, you know, organize these boycotts and say, if you don't take your ads off of this program, we won't buy your product, and we'll continue to wreak havoc on social media. So the advertisers simply, who never really wanted a part of this, they might not have even, whatever the controversy is, they may not have a stake in it at all. They don't care. They just want to advertise their product. They're getting drawn into this turmoil. And a lot of times, too, these same mobs will extort the carriers, you know, the various networks of these people, and they will silence people. And that's the issue I have with cancel culture. I don't like people being silenced. Okay, when these extremes are being carried out to silence people, it is a threat to free speech. Okay, the mob that is in charge, the mob that is the most powerful, is going to decide what is being said. And I just feel that that's a very dangerous direction for us to go down. For me, I'm all for, in terms of free speech and a free society, I'm all for ratings. Let the ratings play themselves out. If you're on a certain social media platform, and there's somebody on there that you don't like, just block them. You know, you don't have to follow them. You don't have to listen to them. That's the other part about free speech. We have free listening. You can pick and choose who you want to listen to. If somebody is on the radio that you don't like, don't tune in. And this gives the opportunity for these voices to get heard by people who want to hear them. And by the same token, it protects you as well, because there's going to come a day when whatever it is that you feel is important, when there's information that you want to hear, you're not going to be able to, because the mob has decided that you don't need to hear that, or your voice doesn't need to be heard. Your opinion doesn't align with ours, so therefore you are canceled. One of the criticisms of free speech, and again, as it's termed in the everyday vernacular, is that it gives people an opportunity to disseminate what is called misinformation. And, you know, that is one of the things, that's one of the aspects of free speech that has to be understood. I know that, let's say, just on the surface, saying that allowing somebody to disseminate information is not a good thing. But let's consider two very important aspects of this. The first one being that what we know about a given subject at a given time, what we know right now about it, the information as we know it, we can say that person is not talking about the facts. But a year from now, what we know about that particular subject might be different. And all of a sudden, that person may not be as wrong as we first were under the impression of. So who's the arbiter of what's right and what's wrong on a given subject? There are times when it's very obvious that this person is saying the wrong thing, but there are times when not so much. So who's got control of that valve? The other aspect of this, if you've ever been in a big family discussion, or if you have ever been in a company where you're behind closed doors, you're in the boardroom, and you're trying to decide what to do about a given thing. A lot of times when everybody speaks, and there's a lot of people who are just going to be off the wall, okay? They're going to be so off the wall that it's almost not even worth talking about whatever it is that they are bringing up. But here's what happens. It's part of the soup. It's part of the discussion that ultimately gets shook out, okay? And their influence may be subtle. The real big negative naysayers, it's part of the mix in terms of how these things get shook out, how the facts that the right direction starts to take form. It's all part of that process. It's all part of what's getting cooked in that moment. And that's something we don't have the appreciation for. You know, in our society right now, I don't like onions. I don't want onions in the pot. Well, the fact of the matter is that sometimes those onions add something that is beyond the taste of the onion itself. And to start excluding what we are going to use as we are formulating something is not always the best idea. And I would wrap up this point about criticizing free speech in that regard, in regard to misinformation with this. And that this is very important and something that I don't hear enough of. But in this day and age of information being as readily available as it is, rather than having these knee-jerk reactions, we have to take a certain amount of responsibility as people in terms of processing the information that is coming to us. We don't necessarily have to be reliant on someone who's already made an opinion influence our opinion. There's lots of ways that we can search out case studies. We can search out research. We can find other voices to listen to and give us different aspects, different flavors of the subject, so to speak. We have to take that responsibility. Oftentimes, I will listen to people that are very conservative. I know exactly what they're going to say, but I'll listen to them anyway because sometimes they surprise me. Sometimes they give me an insight that I wouldn't ordinarily have. And this is true for liberals as well. A lot of times I know exactly the road the liberal is going to go down. I know exactly what path they are going to take. But I always make a little time in how I analyze things to listen to their voices too, because there are times when they move the needle on me. And when you stay in that bubble, when you stay in the information zone, let's say, that you like, you are setting yourself up to be influenced in a way that other people want you to be. So we have to take responsibility, not only in terms of where we get our information, to vary those sources up, but also to listen to various opinions, listen to various analysis. Don't limit yourself to just one ingredient. Finally, a lot of the speculation about this Twitter deal with Elon Musk, there's a lot of speculation about some of the changes that might be coming to Twitter. And, you know, I'm very interested in that because, like I said, I'm a big Twitter user. I really enjoy the platform. I believe that Twitter is built for podcasting. So it's probably my go-to social media platform. Now, I'm not going to get into, I mentioned some of them on the last podcast, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on what potentially could be some of the changes, because this is really speculation right now. It's way too early to try to, predict what some of the changes are going to be, and more importantly, when they might happen. It could be soon, it could be a long time, we just don't know. But some of the things that I've heard being tossed about, I really like. And I would have to say at the top of the list is getting rid of bots and fake accounts. I really feel that has been one of the nagging issues of Twitter for a long time. And if that's something that can be done relatively soon, that would be wonderful. Another possible change that I've heard discussed, and I'm not sure about this one, me personally, is the idea of longer tweets. And that is having the ability to have more characters within a given tweet. Twitter, when I first started, it was referred to as a microblogging service. And I really like that, a microblogging platform, because you have these short, quick ideas being expressed. And it actually made me a better writer in some cases, because I would construct a sentence or a couple sentences and it didn't fit. Okay, so I had to go back and edit it. What words can I do without? And you would find out that in doing this, that your tweet became more direct, it became more clear, and it was just much more concise. And you would incorporate those skills into your everyday writing. When you were writing a blog or writing a paper or writing a letter or constructing a long email, whatever, these ideas, what words can I do without? You know, not only what words can I do without, but what can I take out to actually make this more clear and more concise? And from that aspect of it, I really like the way Twitter works in that regard. I would hate to see some giant tweets, you know, that look like, you know, these long dissertations like the Declaration of Independence. Nobody's going to read all that stuff. And the whole idea is that they're short blasts of information. And of course, you can always put a link in for more detailed information if you want to. But I really like that on the surface, a given tweet makes a real quick point. And it may not be the best platform for everything that you want to discuss, but for what belongs on Twitter, I like that format. Some of the other changes that I've heard about, the edit button is another one that comes up. From what I understand, Twitter was working on something like that anyway. I'm not too concerned about that one way or the other. I do subscribe to Twitter Blue, which after you hit send, it gives you a fair amount of time if you notice something that's wrong to go back and change it, which I suppose is kind of cool. But by the same token, you know, here again, making a quick point, do all of these quick points need to be edited all the time? I'm undecided about this. From what I understand, and I would say this is something I understand, if you edit a tweet, then that tweet would not be able to be retweeted. And that does make sense, because you could, for example, make a point, someone notices it and says, yeah, that's really cool, and they retweet it, and then you go back and change the meaning of it. So that would make perfect sense. The other thing, of course, is the idea of being able to pay with cryptocurrency. I don't have an opinion about that right now. The one thing that I've heard about that I do like would be some sort of a transparency for when people are suspended or even banned from the platform. There just wouldn't be this, okay, you violated the terms of use and now you're suspended and you're unclear as to exactly what happened. I kind of like the idea that there's a guideline that you have to stay within. And that's something that I am absolutely okay with, because there has to be a certain structure in terms of there's only so much hate speech that can be allowed. There's only so much abuse that can be allowed. So that's something that I'm all for. I believe that there should be a guideline and it should be transparent. So these are all, you know, pretty interesting concepts. And like I said, I'm not going to spend too much time on these because it's just too early. We're really speculating in terms of what is going to be deemed feasible and moved forward with anytime in the near future. So anyway, that's my commentary again for Elon Musk and this Twitter situation. I can tell you again, big on Twitter. I love Twitter. You can follow me. You can tweet me real easy at Billy D's on Twitter. Next week, as I mentioned before, scheduled right now, we're going to have a very interesting interview program for you. There's going to be three of us on this podcast. If that doesn't work out, we will still have something for you next week as well. So please subscribe and enjoy the Billy D's podcast. I'm Billy D's. Have a great week.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Billy D's from the self-titled Billy D's podcast. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and many more of the best podcast networks. Join me for my commentary and interviews. Follow me on Twitter, real easy to find, at Billy D's. I am Billy D's. I'd love to have you listen in.